think it's supposed to be Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Kevin. Good morning, everybody. We are on the cusp of a very important holiday. Very important holiday. Memorial Day. It means something different to each and every one of us. For each and every soldier who spilled his blood and gave his life and was God's instrument to protect our freedom and to guarantee those things, we must be grateful. For every wife who told her husband goodbye. For every mother who lost a child. For every husband who sent his wife away to war. For every child who misses his father and mother. We must be grateful and we must be mindful of them. God's instrument. Warriors, brave men, women who gave of themselves for each and every one of us. Does that sound familiar? Let us always remember each and every day of our life. For there is no greater sacrifice than one lay down his life for a friend, and that Jesus gave himself for each and every one of us, and that he calls us friends. Those who were his enemies are now his friends. Let God be praised for this great sacrifice. There's a world of difference that I've learned in my life about having a marriage license and having a marriage. A license gives you permission to have a marriage. It's an official sanction for a marriage. No one would want you to enter into a marriage without a license. That's why we put so much emphasis on these weddings. Licenses and signatures and ceremonies. There's something about a public and a formal declaration of intent and an exchange of vows. But having a license does not guarantee you'll have a marriage. Not a good one, anyway. Making a marriage requires more than having permission to do certain things you could not do before and signing your name on the dotted line. It takes love and hard work to make a marriage from both parties. You have to develop certain habits. We must learn certain skills. Husbands, like dogs, must be housebroken before any marriage can be broken. It takes discipline to make a good, loving, intimate marriage. In our day in society, men want to be married. They want the benefits of marriage. They want the wife that cooks and cleans. They want to have their sexual satisfaction met. But do they want to be a husband? Ladies, you want the security of a husband, a man to hold, love you, and secure you, provide for you. But do you want to be a wife? The same thing is with the Holy Spirit, brethren. The same thing applies with the Holy Spirit. We all want the blessings of the Holy Spirit. But are we willing to work and apply ourselves in each and every part? One of the greatest blessings that happened to me a few short months ago was being named as a prayer chair. It's not a job I've taken lightly. I pray for my brethren every day. I want you to know that you're being prayed for, as I hope you're praying for me. The sermon will be a little different than others. The prayers that I have prayed for you, we're going to pray together. I'm going to give the bullet point, and then we're going to let God take control and remove Ron and remove you out of the way, and let God by His Spirit guide and direct us. And in the same way, there is a big difference between receiving the gift of the Spirit and enjoying the power and benefits and life in the Spirit. Everyone here knows Acts 2 and 38. Everyone who comes to the Lord in faith and repentance and is baptized for the remission of their sins receives the gift of the Holy Spirit. You see, the gift belongs to all believers. The promise is for all believers. It's why we make such ado about baptisms. Confessions of faith, pronouncing holy words, an old and honored ritual. There's something good about public and formal declaration of our faith in Christ. But baptism doesn't guarantee we'll walk in the Spirit, brethren. It doesn't guarantee that we'll walk in the wisdom of the Spirit. The Apostle Paul knew this. Life in the Spirit requires more than receiving a gift and more than accepting a promise. It takes faith and hard work to develop a vibrant relationship with the Spirit of our God. We have to learn and practice certain habits and certain skills. It takes discipline to grow good, loving, intimate walk with the Spirit from both sides, just as in a good marriage. Here's some suggestions that I learned from the Apostle Paul a few months ago. This sermon is a couple months old. First, we must ask for the Spirit to become active in our lives. Hear what Luke says in chapter 11. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? The Spirit demonstrates a remarkable respect for our wills and our desires. He will not force Himself upon us. He will not take up residence where He is not welcomed. He's looking for a partner, not a puppet. And so the Spirit waits for us to invite Him inside. We should make this request whenever we participate in the Lord's Supper, in the communion. Invite the Spirit into our hearts through the bread and through the wine. We should do this regularly and passionately. Brethren, let us take time to pray. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we believe You have sent the Holy Spirit to be our companion and our comforter. We believe Your Son wants me to have a close and forever relationship with the Spirit. So we open our heart and life to Him. We ask that You give us the gift that You have promised. Let Your Spirit do His transforming work in us. Make us the disciples, You, Your Son, and Your Spirit want us all to be. In Your Son's name we pray. Amen. Next topic, let's become a spirit of the student. God has chosen to make known the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you. Colossians 1 and 27. Our education about the Spirit has been greatly lacking, not just here, but in all churches. We don't talk about Him a great deal. I wonder why that is. We don't preach and teach about who He is and how He works and why He is important to our discipleship today. Even those who have walked with Jesus a long time, sometimes the man talking to you and giving you the lesson needs to take a step back. We all know that we receive the Holy Spirit in our baptism, and that's a good start. God knows this. But that's all it is, brethren. It's a start. As God washes us new, He makes us new babes in Christ. He washes us clean. Just the start. Just the start. Now we need to devote ourselves to becoming students of this Spirit, getting to know this Paraclete, as Jesus calls Him, who promises to be our companion and ever-present helper. Let us pray. Father, we have invited Your Spirit into our life. Now we need to know Him. We want to learn who He is and what He does and how He acts. Teach me about Your Spirit. Let us understand His names and His nature. Teach me His ways and His work. Allow us to walk with Him intimately, as I long to walk also with You and with Your Son. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Next topic. Learning sometimes begins with going back. Going back to the Scripture and meeting this Spirit all over again. Contemplate the Spirit in the lives of Moses and David and Paul. Memorize the final discourse, John 14, 16 through 23. And if you can't memorize it, read it often. Immerse yourself in the 8th chapter of Romans. List out the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22. And if you can't memorize it, read it often. Point 3. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18. Many of us cannot see the Spirit of God at work in our world. We are blind. We are distracted. Unaware of the Spirit that moves around us. We don't have the eyes to see what God is doing through His Spirit. Ask God to touch our eyes and to touch our heart to see the Spirit's work. Let us pray. Our righteous Heavenly Father, forgive our blindness to Your Spirit. Heal us so that we may see Him. We confess that we need Your healing touch, opening my blind eyes and deaf ears and of dead heart. Grant us the ability to see Your Spirit, Father, and in return, I will give You my undivided fixed attention. In Jesus' name, amen. We can help the process by fixing our eyes on what is unseen. The operative word is fix. Now this word fix means to fasten, to glue to, or to focus. It is unwavering attention. Watch for the Spirit at work in the morning paper. Read the morning headlines. Throughout the events of your day, in the people you meet, in the opportunities each and every one of us are given, look for the Spirit in times of worship, in moments of need, or in crisis. Pray that God would not only heal our spiritual blindness, but sometimes God has to close our eyes so that we can truly see. Number four. A lot of the older people here, I'm speaking of 65 on up, they speak a different language than us. Brother Herbert and Brother Lewis speak a completely different language than I do. It's not English, but they speak a different language. You see, this is what we speak. Not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. 1 Corinthians 2 and 13. One of the things I admire most about the older brethren or the older sisters is their eagerness and eloquence in witnessing to the Spirit's work in their lives. When I hear one of them say, "The Spirit convicted me," when I hear them say, "The Spirit led me," "The Spirit has not left me alone. I've been seeking the Spirit's wisdom on all things in my life." Most of the time, you and I lack the vocabulary to talk like that. Speech about the Spirit might as well be a foreign language to us sometimes. We stammer and stumble, and we struggle. Spirit phrases feel odd in our tongues. Why is this? Maybe Ron just hasn't been praying enough. Let us go to our Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, we admit that we are slow of tongue when it comes to the matters of the Spirit. Jesus, please touch our tongues as you did with the mute man so that we can speak plainly about the Spirit's work within us. Spirit, forgive me for hardly understanding, much less being able to talk about spiritual truths and in spiritual words. We want our speech to honor you and to be a constant testimony to your grace, goodness, and power to a lost world. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. We must become comfortable talking about the Spirit, giving credit to the Spirit, acknowledging the Spirit's work in our lives, in our church, and in the world. The use of Spirit language that is found in Scripture is called living according to the Spirit. Living according to the Spirit, according to Paul. Set our mind on what the Spirit desires and not what Ron desires. The mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. We are led by the Spirit of God. The Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We are to live in the Spirit. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Galatians 5 and 25. We believe the Holy Spirit lives in us, do we not? Do we understand that we also live in the Spirit? The Spirit keeps in step with us in ministering to our particular wounds, recognizing our individual limits, knowing our specific strengths and weaknesses. But we must also keep in step with the Spirit, brethren, learning His will and adapting to His ways, not ours. Paul gets at this idea with phrases like, "living according to the Spirit. Be controlled by the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. And be led by the Spirit. Now, faithfulness means we submit ourselves to the leading and control of this Spirit. And if the Spirit is really leading and controlling, that sometimes we... That means that sometimes God takes us in weird places. Sometimes our pace gets a lot faster than what we are used to. He takes us out of our comfort zone. Just as he took Philip and put him in the chariot of an Ethiopian eunuch, a man of different race, of different status. We have to go where we're not uncomfortable. We have to be willing. Let us pray. Holy Father, you have promised that the Holy Spirit will live in us and walk with me through all the highways and byways of our lives. Teach me that I also will live in Him and walk with Him. Let me devote my life to the Spirit's control and to His leading. Help me to live in Spirit ways according to the Spirit's wisdom and power. Let me keep in step with the Spirit, even as He walks beside me as my ever-present companion and guide. In your Son's name we pray and thank you. Amen. Point 6. Praying in the Spirit. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in the most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Jude 1 and 20. Some believe praying in the Spirit means some ecstatical experience. It has nothing to do with that, but it has more of the attitude of who is praying and to whom he is praying. Praying with the Spirit in the context of the Spirit means to pray in confidence in the Spirit, through the agency of the Spirit, and because of the indwelling Spirit in our lives. Pray and do it with the Spirit very much in mind. Praying in the Spirit would radically change the way each and every one of us pray. Confident that the Spirit is in us and gives us access to the Father. We would be more aware that the Spirit is praying with us, interceding and translating our groans that we can't even utter. Bold in asking for peace and joy and hope and confidence and love that is so much lacking in our lives today. Bold in asking to be equipped for an effective ministry and to be deepened and to be matured and to be made more like Christ. Let us pray. Our righteous Heavenly Father, remind us that we are not alone when we pray to you. That your Spirit gives our powers prayer. It gives power and boldness. And helps us trust that your Spirit will be our intercessor. That he will speak up for us. That he will groan and plead on our behalf. Teach us to pray in the Spirit and with the Spirit and through the Spirit. To pray because the Spirit is in my heart and on my mind. This is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. Discover our spiritual gifts. I'm not talking the type of spiritual gifts that the Corinthians had. You know, they had the miraculous, the speaking of tongues, the translating of tongues, the healing. We know that is not a part of today. But instead, let's go to the book of Romans. Serving teaching, encouraging, generosity, leadership. What's critical is not which list we are on, brethren, or which particular gift you've been given. What is critical is identifying God's gift in you and using it, and use that gift for His glory. According to Paul, the church you attend needs your gift. God calls that the common good. And now I'm going to tell you something that I know that a lot of you do not know. It doesn't make me smart. You see, it took me a long time to find this out. Packages come in different sizes. They come with different wrapping. God gave gifts to men, and He placed them in the church as He willed and as He purposed. So what does that say about you? How many of you here know just how much of a gift you are to us? How many of you know just how valuable you are? Did you know you're a gift to this church, Deborah? Did you know, Frank, that you're a gift to this church? A lot of people don't think of themselves as a gift. Why don't you? God gave you as a gift, each and every one of you individually, for some certain reason. So now that you know you are the gift, live as a gift for each and everyone. You are not strangers here. You are family. God designed you from the womb and placed you here. You are beautifully, respectfully, and fearfully made. You are highly favored amongst all others. You are that gift. God took us, who were worthless, and made us beautiful, and made us a gift to each and every one of us. We are the common good that God is trying to form in each and every one of us. Don't ever forget that, brethren. When you walk out, you know that you're a gift. None of you are worthless. There is no stepmother, there is no stepfather, there's no stepbrother, there's no stepsister. We all belong one of another. You see, otherwise, if you do not believe you're a gift, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen, and I've seen it happen. You're going to be constantly insecure. You're going to feel, I'm not needed here. You won't want to offer your services. Why? Because you don't feel you're needed. Sometimes it's amazing how some of us have no clue about our giftedness. No understanding of what part we play in Christ's body. And no involvement in the life and ministry of our churches. The Spirit has given us a gift, just the gift He wanted us to have. Just the gift our church needs. You know what that gift is? It's you. That's what Paul's talking about. You are the gift. Surprisingly enough, even I, we take that gift and we bury it in the ground. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, please give me the wisdom to know what our true gift is and the courage to use it in the service of Your kingdom. Forgive me when I have hidden Your gift away and kept it from Your body. You, through Your Spirit, have equipped us to make a difference for your people and in the world. Convict us by your Spirit of the need to use my gift and me as a gift for your glory, for the building up and equipping of your saints to your honor and glory. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Discerning the Spirit in others. Don't even need the paper for this one. You ever look around and notice someone just seems to have something going on? That person has it. I don't know what it is, but they have it. And you want a piece of it. You know someone like that in this congregation? Doesn't matter who it is. You need to befriend them. You need to find out what it is they are doing right. You need to ask them, is it your prayer? Is it your life? Is it your Bible study? Is it just plainly your attitude and that you accept God at His Word? I need that. Become closer with one another. Find out we are a family. And find out that if all of us work together and use our gift, marriages take a turn for the better. We know everyone by name. We become synergetic. One man can lift 100 pounds, and another man can lift 100 pounds. Together, they can lift 400 or 500 pounds together. Why is that? That is God's law. It's the law of synergy. Can you imagine where work is not work? Where work is fun? Because many hands have made all the work very light. That's what God tells us. That's what God's telling us. Be the gift that you are. Last of all, let's spread the word, brethren. With 11 men, later 12, Matthias was added, he changed the world. How many do you see in front of you? 12 men. I see that just right here. They turned the world upside down. In a period of 26 to 30 years, they had reached the entire world with the gospel. That is the known world of the Roman Empire. 26 to 31 years. What have we done in the last how many years we've been here? It's not a matter of the ground. Jesus says the fields are white for harvest. Pray to God that He brings in reapers and servants to go reap that field. As we learn about the Spirit, we must also become witnesses, telling us and you telling others will help you understand the Spirit better yourself. Telling will encourage you to walk in the Spirit more fully and more deeply. Telling will also invite people you love to a more richer experience in their life. A richer and more loving experience than they've ever known in their life. If ideas expressed in these sermons, which Brother Alfonso, Brother Tim and I have given you, tell someone. Doug's put them online. It doesn't matter, brethren. It doesn't matter what you see in that mirror, because what you don't see in that mirror is that Spirit that lies within each and every one of you. It's powerful. It's all-powerful. God, all-powerful. Jesus, all-powerful. Jesus says, I will give you a comforter, and I will give Him to you in my name, which is by my authority, which is the presence of Jesus with us. Jesus is all-powerful. And guess where He put that power? In each and every child of God. Do you believe this? The scriptures do not say in vain, all who come to God in faith. All. If you're here today and you have a desire for this Spirit, a desire to have your life changed, a desire to be a gift, a desire to get out of that world and to come into a place where there is a place of rest, the opportunity is yours. It has been said that great opportunities are born of great moments are born of great opportunity. And that's what we have right here. An opportunity to receive the Holy Spirit of God by coming to Him with a broken and contrite heart. Because with a broken and contrite heart, God will not refuse. Bring forth a repentance with fruit worthy of that repentance. Declare your faith in His Son, Jesus. And be baptized for the remission of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of this Holy Spirit. Then you will start new. God will raise you up and give you and provide each and every one of you all that you need, that you will be able to glorify God in the church and in Christ Jesus from now and forevermore. And if there's any other problem, any other need any of you have, this is the place of healing. There is no shame here. This is where we heal. This is where families come together. This is not where we're afraid to be ourselves. This is where we know that each and every one of us is nothing more than a covenant breaker, a condemned sinner who's been redeemed by the loving grace of our God. Because that is His nature. And if you are here today and you have been saved by this grace, that love and grace and peace that God gave you, go out there and persuade someone. Show them what God has done with you. Then you will see God be glorified. Then you will see those doors open. Then we will see what God can do over and abundantly beyond all of what we ask or what we think, according to the power that works within each and every one of us. Let God be praised. I love you all, and I hope you have enjoyed the prayers that I have been praying for you all. And please remember to pray for me always. Let us stand now while we stand and while we sing.